internet, it's your boys, brother. What's up, gang? It's Wes Gardner. I told you you couldn't not laugh. It's Wes Gardner, Mr. Commie to Hobo himself. And over in this corner, right here, the Kota Ibushi to my Hideo Itami.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's a deep cut, son.
That's a tag team right there.
That's a deep cut. Mr. Marco Flores, Nerd in the Bay. Welcome to the brand new show, Brothering Around.
Yes, off topic, indeed.
Unfiltered, uncensored. Shit's crazy.
We're just going to talk like table for three on the WWE Network.
That's right, man. So just random conversations. So what this is, this is the introductory episode. It's a big celebration. But what we're going to do is we're going to be breaking down exactly what the future holds for this. Why are we here? Why this project as opposed to the stuff that you know us from, such as Twitch, YouTube, all that. Why are we doing an iTunes podcast? That's something you may be asking. And you know what? Fuck you. I'll tell you why.
I was in suspense. I was like, is he going to tell me? Or
wait, you just, what? Are we here? Are we? So,
oh, man.
So yeah, man. Now let's get into it. Let's talk about this. So, yeah. Okay. So Marco and I, how long have we known each other, man? We've known each other for...
Oh, geez. 2000. Okay. When did you have No Quarter? Like 2006?
No Quarter. I did No Quarter Radio. So let's see. If I go back about 11 years ago, I was doing freelancing for Ziff Davis Media on OneUp.com. And that led into doing a podcast project called No Quarter Radio with Doug Oldham. Let's see. We had Chad. We had Justin. We had part of my crew from Oklahoma City. We did some of
your
that.
Brothers.
Yeah. So yeah, they're definitely brothers, and we'll get to what a brother is in a little bit. So yeah, that started 2006, 2007.
Yeah, and I started messaging around, like posting comments and messaging around like episode 9, episode 8.
Yeah, so you were early, man. Like, I mean,
I was early.
Like, if I want to talk about No Quarter, like super fan. Like, you're the man. Like, you are the man.
RVD pointing at myself right now.
Right.
This guy
right here. But yeah, you were like, you would give us all good questions for like mail episodes, all that stuff. And then,
yeah,
you know,
fun.
You and I just started just chatting and like, hey, this guy's a brother. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's a brother.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And then ever since, kind of inseparable, we've been working different projects. We've gone everything. You were there throughout co-creation of Nitro Beard. You got your own shows, the Smark and Mark show. Got your Nerd in the Bay project. You know, and I've been dilly-dallying. I did that Twitch for a little bit, about a year, freelancing that. Did the Nitro Beard podcast with the Beard Cast. Also did some free-to-play stuff on the website. So we've been around the block. Now we're doing YouTube. We did YouTube videos, West versus Backlog. We got Nerd in the Bay, your weekly updates, like,
yeah,
we've been, you know,
I check out like mobile games from like the week to week and make sure that you are taking a look at what's quality rather than like, you know, the Chinese version of Pokemon Go.
Right.
So, yeah.
Pokemon. Yeah, Pokemon. And Chikapu is the main one. They just take the names and reverse them. But okay, so basically all of our stuff has been themed. Like, going back even 10 years, my freelance job, it was in video games. We did Twitch, which is, of course, video games, YouTube stuff. It's all video game content. So, you know, Marco and I are more than, you know, we're more than just a pretty face. We're more than just the video games.
We got the personality.
We got the personality. There's you ask us the questions. Inside. We'll tell you about some Faulkner. We'll tell you about, you know what? We've read some Hemingway.
There's some baggage.
A little
skeletons. Who doesn't have baggage?
I mean, come on now. It makes for good people, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, just something that's not video games, man, because God love them. Love me some video games, but Jesus. You know, like this industry's crazy. Now it's all VR
Oh,
and
dude.
the
Yeah,
kids
it's
these
all about
days, man.
VR and again, Pokemon Go and what else?
That's it. That's it. Those are the only video games anymore.
Overwatch, like
Yeah.
ESL, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
It's
So.
funny because like now I'm starting to feel the old madness
Yep.
in video games, and I never thought I would be up to that point.
I know, man. I just don't. Whatever that spark is, whatever the whole, like, oh, I gotta play this game. Like, I'll put it this way, man. This is gonna blow your mind. I've had the new Deus Ex since release day. Haven't played it a single time. Deus
Wow,
Ex
and
is.
you're pretty much a, Deus Ex like mark.
That's I am. I'm a total mark for it. Like
Yeah.
I, that's my jam. Like Deus Ex, the original Deus Ex, my favorite game of all time. I haven't even like booted up. I think I have it installed. I think. Like I need to check. You know what I mean? But I just don't have the whatever that drive is to play all the newest whatever. I have all the systems and sadly, like I can play Halo sometimes and I'll load up Destiny every once in a while. But I'm like, eh. I would rather eat food and take a nap.
Right. So like at that point, at that particular point, I'm like, I kind of have like a small panic attack. I'm like, this is what old news Belita feels like.
Old news,
I
believe.
have, dude, old news Belita, this is literally what, the epitome of like, you're just disconnected.
Right,
And
right.
what is this newfangled video game now? Shout out to
That
Brian
shout
Belita.
out. That shout out to Brian Belita. He's a brother.
Oh yeah, man.
True
He's a
brother, man.
brother.
Okay, so you, one of our other passions, as if you haven't noticed yet, is talking like carnies, apparently. But where we love pro wrestling. We love it. It has its own culture, it has its own language. And we even speaking not recording stuff, we speak in like pro wrestler jargon
Literally.
about everything. It's kind of
Literally.
stupid. It's not kind of stupid, it is stupid. The whole thing's stupid. But it's I think it's hilarious and it's
Oh,
like
dude,
having
come
this
on, dude.
secret
It's
coded
hilarious.
conversation.
Because that's what wrestlers did when they were doing their matches.
That's right.
There were coded conversations. Like,
Yeah.
it wasn't exactly, okay, pin me. It's, okay, go home.
Yeah, we got to do the go home. We have 2 minutes.
You
Like,
got to go home. Yeah.
you have your heels and baby face, bad guy, good guy. But okay, so to tie this all back into the new podcast, a brother, you probably hear from pro wrestling because of Hulk Hogan. Let me tell you something,
Yeah.
brother. That's actually a brother is a term for somebody in the same business you are. So,
Yeah.
like, a brother is the same thing as a worker. Like, here's another worker, here's another wrestler. Or, Marco and I have been in the YouTube kind of podcast entertainment game for over a decade. We're brothers. Like, that's the work.
Yeah.
This is part of it. This is part of the work. So we say, Brian Belita, he's a brother. He helped co-create Nitro Beard. Like, you can have good brothers, you can have bad brothers. Like, you have,
Yeah,
like.
so that so being a brother means like there's a common theme in what you're working on, and also like he's it's like say like yeah, Wes is a good dude. He's a brother, like we would call like your non-family best friends. You would literally call them brothers. So
Yes.
same thing in the wrestling world is like because Hulk Hogan would use that term like would make that term popular, but like, you would often hear that from everybody else, like Ric Flair, like from Sting. You could hear it from Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and X-Pac, all those guys, they would be brothers to each other,
Yeah.
because like they're all about the business. And so like in this in particular, like me and Wes are brothers because like we make each other laugh when we're trying to make a show, and even like when we're not recording anything, like we're still cracking each other up.
Yeah. I mean, some of the best material, because, Marco and I have been doing a show called The Power Hour for quite a while now.
Right.
And
Yeah.
it's our YouTube show. We play a game. We talk with chat on Twitch and stuff. We haven't done one in a while, but we have another one kind of in the works. We have to figure out kind of the best time to do it.
For sure. Yeah.
But some of the best material never makes the air.
Yeah.
Like this,
Right.
because
Exactly.
we're either, because, and the whole prospect, if we were to sum this up, if brothering around is to be summed up in like one sentence. It's our version of a shoot interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a behind the scenes. It's unfiltered. It's uncensored. Like, we can call people out. We could talk about politics. We could talk about just the price of milk. Like, it is a whatever. Think of this as a morning radio show. Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll talk about current events. So yeah. we frame it, of course, based on the business. So we frame it based on Twitch and YouTube and, you know, pro wrestling and whatever hobbies we're really passionate about. But the conversation can go anywhere, literally anywhere. So yeah. This is a no holds barred sort of, you know, it's a shoot. Like, we're going to tell the truth. We're going to tell you what's crappy about Twitch. We're going to tell you what's crappy about YouTube, but we're going to tell you what's great about that stuff too. Like,
for sure,
this is going to be a lot of fun because you get to relax a little bit. And, you know, yeah. Whenever you go and we start a power hour, we even hype ourselves up because we know it's about to be showtime.
Yeah, literally. Cause like, yeah, before this, we're like, you know, we're dicking around and, you know, trying to crack each other, you know, crack each other's like jokes. And, but when it comes to showtime, we're like, okay. Psych yourself up. Get ready.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. You focus in. You dial in kind of this upped version of yourself. But the more we talked and stuff, and I was like, let's do something really different. I mean, let's do something relaxing and like there's no pressure. Totally. And I think there's an appeal to that. And, you know, we might be wrong. You can rail us in the comments if you want. You know what I mean? But the whole reason like Power Hour works so well, in my opinion, is we try to pop each other. We try to make each other laugh. We try to make each other respond. And by the way, a pop is to get a reaction of any sort, like a boo, a laugh, clapping, cheering, whatever. Like if you pop something, like, you know, oh, the crowd popped whenever they said the name of the city, you know, that crowd went crazy. They popped.
Because nothing worse. There's nothing worse than getting no reaction.
Silence. Silence is the death blow. And that's kind of the same thing now. I mean, and like YouTube and, you know, you could be working your ass off and then you get no comments. Or you're working your ass off on Twitch, you don't get any viewers. So what's it for? You're not getting the pop. You're not getting the feedback.
You're not getting a reaction.
Yeah, you don't have anything to play off of. But we get along so well. We've known each other what feels like forever. And, you know, I mean, I'm 30. You know, we've known each other for a third of my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I'm 34.
So, like, yeah. We're growing old. Mm. You're a growing old man.
Thank God we're both bald already, man.
I was way ahead of the curve over like that.
But would you think of it any way different? Like, I'm so glad I'm bald. Oh, my God.
Dude, so, like, I shaved my head, like, in the early 2000s. Because of an ex-girlfriend, like, oh, I really like, you know, how guys have like a, you know, shaved head, and I had the split bowl haircut.
Oh yes, yes sir, yes sir.
I can show you some pictures, and I look like I'm Filipino. People tell me I look like a Mexican, and it is dude, you wouldn't have known. So like, I did that. I was like, okay, I'll do that. So I ended up shaving my head. And I try to see what, you know, the girlfriend at the time was like, hey, what did you think? I get no reaction. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, man.
So no pop. It's like, okay. So I did this for a girl, but it's fine. I actually like it like this now. So now it's just easier that way just to be bald and not have it to, like, fix your hair.
And I got, because I was real nervous because, you know, my everyone on my mom's side of the family, all the guys on my mom's side of the family and all the guys on my dad's side of the family, bald before the age of 30.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So like I got screwed on the genetics. Right. So the thing is, I had my hair, I had long hair in high school and all this stuff. I had like the surfer haircuts and then it started thinning. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I should cut it short. So I cut it short. And looking back, it looked ridiculous. But at the time, you know, you're just not confident enough. You're like, my hair's gone. Like, you get up helping your own shit, right?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But what ended up happening is then I got one of those, you know, the beard trimmers. And I just took the guard off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The no level?
Over the head.
Level zero or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a zero. And then, like, so no guard in it. And then I did that for a while. And it took me... Seriously, it took me until getting with my fiance now to have the courage to actually take a Bic razor to my head. Like,
yeah, I'm not there yet.
You're not there, dude. Oh, it's so much better.
I still use a, like hair clippers or whatever.
Oh yeah. See, man, I go Bic, man.
Yeah,
do it. Yeah, oh yeah.
Because a part of that reason is because my wife, my wife now likes a little hair, little bit of hair.
You know, do it for the ladies.
Do it for the lady. Do it for the wife. Yeah.
Hey, if the wife has a preference, you keep it going.
Yeah.
That's how you play the game. Like, come on now.
That's how you play the game. Literally. You don't do it for anybody else but your wife.
That's right. Yeah, no one else's opinion matters. No one else. No one. There's no like one the else. President could tell you to do something. You're like, well, let me clear it by my wife.
You talk with the boss first.
Yeah, I gotta talk with the person that actually makes the decision. So, let me get this cleared.
You're right, dude.
Oh, but yeah, it feels good to be able to do something that's not. You never really know what to expect, because it's nice to have something themed. Like, here are the five topics we're gonna cover, because it gives a sense of pace and a sense of direction. But otherwise, it's like we've always kind of wanted the vibe of let's have our fans or our friends or whoever that's listening, really, to feel like both. So if they're a fan, we want them to feel like friends.
It's a candid conversation.
Yeah, it's candid. You're hanging out in the car with us.
Right.
Like, that's the vibe we always wanted, but we always tried to structure and kind of do the Me Too stuff, because I know we're big fans. We're kind of marks for people like Maximilian and
you know,
Super Best Friends and like Giant Bomb.
Yeah.
And so, but I guess I know I was guilty of trying to mimic it almost. Like,
For me, like, I would think like that is a standard. So you go with that standard.
Sure.
Like, you do like the formation of that.
Right.
But it may not necessarily work for us.
Correct. Yeah. We always felt that, like, we know we would have good power hours. There are some power hours that are, I still think, are drop dead hilarious. Yeah. Like, I would recommend them as YouTube content for anybody, anytime, anywhere, because you're going to laugh at least one joke.
Yeah.
But there was always that sense that there was something else. And I don't know if I was just the one feeling that. I don't know if you kind of felt that way too, about like we were onto something sort of, but it never quite clicked.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me personally, I would, like, as we're talking about the game and that we're playing, and I'm actually trying to think of something, you know, just to make like a joke, when I should just let that go and just let the conversation go freely.
Yeah.
But I was feeling like, oh man, I got some sort of pressure. Like, oh, I got to say something funny or something insightful about this game, or where I should just talk to you and just, you know, see where it goes. And I'm pretty sure like anything like natural conversation is more funnier, like more informative in that sense too, it would like be like me trying to think, oh, I got to do this, but it should really just be us at our natural state, keeping like keeping it 100 basically.
Yeah. And I think that because that's how we had so much success with the projects we've done already. People started becoming fans of us, not necessarily the content. So maybe it was the content. I don't know. It may have been like a 50-50 split. Like, I'm not sure exactly, possibly. You know, exactly how that Venn diagram looks. But it's one of those that, hey, here's something that's less pressure, but might be even more fun because we actually get to be ourselves. And the people that, you know, if they watch our YouTube stuff, they'll see one side of it. And, you know, that's us like, in the videos.
Yeah, but there's, like, many aspects of, like, us.
Correct, you know? Yeah. So, like, it's the one direction
this,
like, of
this
us.
This is an aspect of us. Twitch was definitely an aspect of us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to be able to actually just relax and not fret so much about it.
Totally.
Yeah, that's the goal of the show. I guess if we were to say, going forward, and this episode included, but going forward, like, all bets are off. Like you do not know what we're going to talk about. And I think that's part of the
randomly bring up. We're just going to randomly bring up topics. Yeah. It won't be like, oh, this is the video game segment. Oh, this is going to be like the movie segment.
Oh, the news.
The news, or, you know, like, oh, what have you been up to?
You know, what have we been playing?
Right. Exactly.
It's like that works, but it's kind of tropey now. Like,
yeah,
everyone does it because everyone does it. It's like freaking, if you go to a store and they have a shopping Christmas buyer's guide. The only reason they make those buyer's guides is because the other people make buyer's guides.
Speaking of which, I'm already seeing like Thanksgiving, like Christmas Thanksgiving stuff already. Ugh. Like, dude, it just turned October. Yeah. What are you guys doing?
5 days ago it turned October.
Yeah.
Like, it's still slightly early to put out Halloween stuff, and that shit is this month.
What are y'all talking about Black Friday? Dude.
Well, now what's great is all these places are like prepping up for, Black Friday. But okay, so if you're going out to buy something on Black Friday, my suggestion is don't do it. Like, buy that shit right now. The reason why is because, you know, people will talk about, oh, the television deals are great on Black Friday. Well, now places like Samsung and Vizio have smartened up, and what they're going to do is make a real
You know what it's looking like now on Black Friday? Like, you know, the previous years we hear like horror stories. It's looking like The Purge. It's looking like Lucha Underground. Like, literally all these people are working for Dario, like, because they like the violence.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just to get this TV.
And the TVs are crappier now. Like, Vizio and Samsung specifically make models of their televisions with less features to sell on Black Friday.
Oh, man.
So, it's a work. Everyone's getting worked. Like, look at this 55-inch LED TV. And people are like, oh, that's a great deal. The thing has one HDMI port.
It almost as if they give, like, they make those type of TVs for the Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to sell some units.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, they don't want to spend $400 making a TV they have to sell for $150.
Right.
You know, they're gonna put the jankiest. They're gonna do the Chinese Pokemon Go on it. They're just gonna. They're gonna keep a chew or whatever it is. Like, they're gonna. They're gonna do budget style, man. Like, you can get your TV from Dollar Tree.
Yo, dude, oh, dang.
I'm not recommended.
Right. I would go to a Dollar Tree store just to see that. Not to buy it, just to see.
What TV would they have?
Will they? Yeah. It'll be straight up like the CRT TVs or something like that.
Oh, right. With the crank dial on the side.
Yeah.
You have to hit the side of it because of all the snow. Like,
you'll get both of the TVs, like the big one for like a PlayStand, and then the smaller one just where they get video games. Everything.
Oh, man.
So this is literally what brothering around is. Like, we're just going to be going to like random topics.
Yeah, this is brothering around. This is being brothers. We're just like talking shit. So, back to those old TVs. Do you remember those old TVs? They had that really crappy like wood paneling.
Yeah.
Like, but it wasn't wood. It was like a cardboardy thing that was painted to look like wood.
Right. It had the feeling of wood, but
it was like bendable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bendable.
You can't bend wood.
That cardboard wood.
Yeah, that's true. That high class. It's like, isn't that the shit IKEA is trying to pull now?
Is it?
Pretty much. Like, don't they just sell the cardboard wood? Right?
What?
And they charge $400 for it. We're avant-garde because you just buy a mattress and you build a fucking box around it.
And then they recall it.
Yeah.
Oh. Because
but
because
be very
are, like,
wary
hitting,
of buying.
Like, dropping on people's heads or something like that.
Oh, speaking of that shit, don't you have the new Samsung Galaxy S7?
Wait, nice segue.
The segue right
Yes,
there. You're going to
I
ride away on
do.
that segue.
I finally upgraded my phone from the S3,
Yeah.
where I've been doing all of my, intro to mobile game videos on, finally to an S7. It's not, the house hasn't caught on fire because the S7 is fine. The Galaxy Note 7 is the
Oh,
one
okay.
that,
See my bad.
getting, that's the one that's casting Viagra
Yeah.
and and flare and all these people's like houses and cars.
Oh. Like there was a shipment. Like I work in IT, so all this crazy IT like old wives' tales type stuff comes through. So I don't know if I believe half of it, but like legit, apparently there's a shipment of them. They burn the
Right.
truck down.
I
But the things weren't
heard that.
on. They weren't even turned on. They were in the box. What happened? Like, what blew up?
Dude, that is like so when we went to the Verizon store, because I got Verizon as my carrier, we went to the Verizon store and we're looking around and we see onto the side like Galaxy Note 7, and I'm telling my wife and my brother-in-law, hey, look, it's that one, it's that one. It's the one that's burning
That's
the houses down.
the
That's the culprit right there.
bomb
And he was like, we're not gonna get that one. We're not gonna get that one. And they were like, okay, calm down, calm down. They're like, I know, I saw the news. They literally mentioned that like last night. So I'm like, okay, cool, good. Not trying to I mean, I don't know the last time I talked to Wes, but I think I mentioned to him like the last thing that happened to me was like a tree falling on my car,
Oh yeah.
and like yeah, basically nothing happened. I didn't have the type of insurance that would pay for that, so I was like, damn, so I was screwed on that end. But yeah, wasn't trying to add to that
Right.
unlucky streak.
Well, then before that, I don't even know. Well, hell, it's brothering around, man. We're gonna talk about it.
Yeah,
So what
dude.
the fuck was that story about your next door neighbor, like the SWAT team kicking down the doors and shit? Because you've had the
So
craziest luck.
apparently I live like across, I basically live like in Lucha Underground,
Yeah,
like in
you
that
live
setting.
in Grand Theft Auto. Like, that's where you live.
Right. Like, dude. So yeah, I do, right? So okay, I'll set the story. So like I'm sleeping. I think I was coming from my graveyard shift. I think it was like a year ago, a couple of years ago. I think it was a year ago. I'm sleeping and it's like daytime and I get a knock on the door, but like I was so like heavy asleep. I was like, oh, I thought I was dreaming about it, but I eventually wake up and it's my brother-in-law. He's like, hey, you better get out of the room because SWAT is pointing the guns and like, like they're, they didn't have the tank on them, but it was like the SWAT truck that they usually come in. So yeah, the SWAT truck was like pointing at the house next to us. I was like, oh, what the heck? So I look, open the blinds, and literally, sure enough, all guns are pointing at this house. And I was like, oh, this is real. Oh no. So I bolt the hell out of the room. And I'm looking around, like, what's going on? And like I'm seeing all the neighbors looking around, like, what's going on? So apparently, like, I mean, I'm gonna, throw the dirty laundry because he's no longer with us. Apparently, the next door neighbor had to foreclose his home, and he had to leave the house. But he wasn't willing. He wasn't about it.
Right,
He wasn't willing
right.
to do it. So he locked himself in, and then I guess there was like attempts to like try to kick him out, and then it came up. It got to the point where police had to be involved. So about an hour and a half comes around, like we're just like, man, this is crazy because I never seen this before. Not like never seen this before, but like the last time this happened, it was at my work, and like somebody called about having a gun and a SWAT went into my work building.
Oh
Anyways,
shit.
so this is just me on my day, like me.
Trend. How is this a
Yeah, it's like
trend?
a trend. Apparently it's a trend. So yeah, so hour and a half passes. The police knocks on our door and they want to go like use our backyard to use our backyard to hop over the fence to that person's backyard.
Yeah.
So they do that, and like by the time they break open from the back door, this guy apparently had a gun and bought a silencer and basically just shot himself.
Whoa. Like,
shot himself dead.
Not very like brotherly.
Not at all. And like, I mean, we were shocked because days prior to that, we don't see this person. I mean, never really seen this person around as long as I lived here.
Yeah.
But especially those prior days, like really nothing with like, you know, the front lawn wasn't being mowed. You know, everything, it was starting to look like right. It was dirty, like as if it was empty already.
Gotcha.
But you know, when that happened, yeah, he shot himself in the head, and then, yeah, everything was like, you know, everything's clear. Yeah, the guy killed himself. And
oh, shit. I was like,
dang, just because you didn't, you know, you didn't want to leave the house.
Right,
like,
man. But I was wondering
like what brought him to that point, like,
right,
you know,
yeah, huh.
Like I was thinking, like, doesn't he have any family that he can just go to, or like,
right.
This guy was living by himself, as far as I know, but huh. Yeah, but like right now there's a family that has a house across the street from us. They bought that house because it was on sale for a good while, and nobody was buying that house.
Oh sure,
reason.
Don't like real estate agents have to disclose that?
For sure, yeah, they have to tell them, like yeah.
Here's the kitchen, and then over yeah. here is going to be your foyer. And by the way, the gentleman that owned this place shot himself with a silencer here.
You but have
over
a dead
here,
roommate.
You're going to see the bathroom.
Right. Look at the crown moldings, but like there was the blood, you know. You know, so I mean, yeah, they have to tell them that stuff. And yeah, again, that house wasn't bought for the longest time, and I was like, man, nobody's going to buy that house. But like the family across the street from us did buy that house, and I was like, "All right, man, good luck with that. Hopefully,
God no, bless.
Yeah,
exactly. Keep the bills paid,
right? Like no, what's that horror movie? That's been like they've been having sequels now lately. With all the cameras.
Oh, Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, Paranormal Activity. I hope none of that is happening. Where you're gonna try to steal. Like a baby or something.
Right? A big tiger comes in your apartment or something.
Right. Like, why is there a tiger?
It's like, oh, shit. Oh, my pictures are on fire. What the fuck?
Right? Right? Jeez, man. But yeah, like, yeah, I guess I run into that, I guess, fairly frequently. Like, I don't live in, like, a bad neighborhood. It's like a suburb area. It's just...
Well, like, but you live in Cali, right?
I do live in California.
So here's
apparently
the thing.
I like live in like half of it is like Bray Wyatt's like compound, and the other half is like broken Matt Hardy's, you know, war area type of thing.
Right,
these things happen.
Resurrection pool or whatever that is.
Jeez, the resurrection pool is so over. And is a character in itself when you see those Matt Hardy like
so genius.
Movie segments that he does.
Like he put
it's awesome
because Abyss fell in it.
Yeah,
and then came back as what's his face, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is money!
Yeah, that's awesome!" And then when Jeff Hardy went in, it like spoiler alert, like this is I think this was part of Delete and Decay.
Yeah,
I think it was afterwards. After Delete and Decay, they show like an after, like a epilogue of it.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy like hurt himself, and like apparently this pool has healing powers. So when he got dunked into the pool, he became the Jeff Hardy of old, like where he was like a heel, like, you know, he's like, you can't see me. I guess, like, you know, throwing a shot to John Cena.
Right.
And he had the old Hardy. Jeff Hardy heavyweight title belt on him and smoking. I was like, "Hey, that's crazy!" Like, but that was genius. That he would use a pool to bring back
idea.
Old characters like that.
Yeah, just such a good idea.
Yeah, dude, awesome.
And I love that type of stuff because I love when pro wrestling gets so stupid.
Yeah, I love, exactly.
Like, it's so beautiful how dumb pro wrestling. Like my favorite thing probably in the past 6 months was that KFC commercial with Dolph Ziggler as Colonel Sanders and The Miz dressed up like a chicken.
Just a chicken.
And he super kicks him in the fucking face. And it makes me laugh every single time.
The Colonel kick.
I tell Brittany, my fiance, I'm like, all wrestling needs to be this. Just dress up like fucking chickens and just all of it. Just make all of it happen.
Dude, like I remember you retweeted a video clip of R-Truth making him think that he thought he was in the Money in the Bank ladder match, and you see Roman Reigns and Dolph Ziggler legit laughing.
They can't help it.
I think that was a shoot. It had to have been. Kane was like money there, and then Truth can do no wrong in terms of like comedy.
Oh, but he's genius.
I guess he's at that stage where, like, you know, if we could just make kids laugh and, you know, kids smile, doesn't really care about a title.
Better than the freaking CZW shit he had to do back in the day. Take, like, glass bulbs to the face. Like, let him tell goofy jokes and act like an idiot and then get paid. Like, of course. Like, he's earned his stripes. He has nothing left to prove. Like, and that's the thing, sort of, how I feel about John Cena, too, is, like, that dude, what has that dude not done that he needs to do? Nothing. Like, nothing.
He doesn't really need to do anything. I mean, like, yeah, the Undertaker is still there, but, like, he's on his way out. Like, how many more matches does he have left? And I know John Cena's like, sure, like that'd be cool if that could happen, but, like, he's like, dude, I don't really care. I'm in no rush.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of, speaking on that, another definition term for the new listeners or people that aren't privy to the deal. You'll probably hear, if you read message boards and stuff, or you talk about pro wrestling, you're going to hear people referred to as marks. And I know we talked about it earlier today, how I'm a mark for God knows what.
Deus Ex.
Yeah, I'm a Deus Ex mark.
Yeah.
So a mark is an old, old carnival term. And it came from the days of the carnival to where the Ticketmaster up there, which is also a carnival term, but now it's a whole company. The Ticketmaster would have his podium elevated above where the customers would give him money. The reason why is so he could look into the person's wallet or purse to see how much money they had.
Oh, wow. I actually didn't know that.
So if they had enough money, if they were holding, he would do a signal. He would do something, tap the side of the podium, something. So one of his boys, he has a watcher out here that would walk by, have a piece of chalk or a piece of dust, something in his hand, and be kind of the quote unquote the escort. But what he would do is he's like, oh, welcome to the carnival. Yeah, right this way. Oh, let me walk you over here. Let me show you around. Mm-hmm. So then he would mark the person. He would mark the person like on the back of their shoulder. He would just put a little bit of chalk on them. That way, all of the other people that ran the rigged games would know that that guy had money. He was a mark. Like, that's a mark. So basically what it meant at the time, it didn't mean you were an idiot. It didn't mean you were a sucker. I know a lot of wrestlers and a lot of like fans use it that way. Like, oh, that guy's a mark. He believes it's all real. Like, it's not necessarily that. It's more like, here's a guy that has the potential to pay us out a lot of money if he's convinced that this stuff is legit. So he'll play the rigged hoop game if we can convince him and sell him that he can win it.
That's possible.
So that's a mark. A mark is somebody that, like, you become a fan against your wishes, essentially. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even though, and now there's like terms for like smart marks, which, you know, we consider ourselves smart marks, but there's an irony in that phrase, like a smark or a smart mark. How can you be smart for something and know that it's rigged, yet still be a mark for it?
Exactly.
Like, how does that even work? So you'll hear the term smark, and, you know, but whenever we say we mark out, it's like for that brief moment in time, we've always known that it's fake, but we're just massive super fans. Like, holy shit. Like,
we're believing in the moment.
Yes, right. Yeah. Exactly. So, like, I'm a mark for Deus Ex. I know that game has so many flaws, it's damn near unplayable today, but I don't care. Like, I still think it's the best thing ever made. Like, despite all of its flaws and it being kind of garbage to play now, Like, I still love it. I still think it's the best thing I ever made. Like, I'm a mark. I'm a total mark for it. So yeah, whenever you hear that term, and we use it a lot, it's kind of a shorthand for kind of a more, I guess, complex idea, because the whole mark thing's really interesting, and the history behind it, and, you know, people talk about, yeah, oh, these guys talking carny lingo, like, where does this stuff, where does anything that has to do with a carnival still exist now? And my answer to that is?
What's that?
When is the last time you went to the grocery store?
There you go.
You want to know why? There you go. So, name the main things you need to get at the grocery store.
Okay, like vegetables, okay, like produce, gotcha, like milk.
Yep.
You know, like some frozen, sort of like food. Yeah.
Yeah, like frozen. Okay. Poultry. Where is all of that?
It's always in the back.
It's always in the back or on the sides.
Yeah.
So when you go to a carnival, where are the main attractions?
In the back.
Or on the sides.
On the sides.
It,
yeah,
still works. It's always worked. They get you in the door, so you have to walk your happy ass all the way to the back to grab that milk. Then you have to walk through all that other shit in the middle of the store to go pay.
Yep.
And then they have stuff there to impulse buy.
Exactly. That's like Target right there.
You're constantly being sold, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a carnival. Like, the whole thing's carnies. It's all fucking carnies.
That is more prevalent whenever I go to Target.
Especially now, man.
we'll go in there to get like one thing. We know the thing that we need to get or something.
Yeah.
We come out and we're all of a sudden we're buying like ice cream and like, why did we buy this cheap DVD that we're not going to really watch? And like
15 princess movies for $5.
Exactly. Like, wait, I was just trying to get the one thing. How did they get me again?
Here's the other thing. You want to really feel like a mark. Go into Walmart and look for a hand basket.
Oh,
they got rid of them. You have to drive around a fucking tank. Like, have you seen the size of those Walmart shopping baskets? They're massive. No, I could live in one. Like, they're huge.
Right.
I don't need that much shit, but they have them that big. So that way, when you get your loaf of bread, you get your t-shirt, you get whatever you're getting at Walmart.
And then you get the TV.
Yeah, your three little items don't look like anything. And you're like, oh, am I forgetting anything?
Yeah.
And then you start talking yourself into buying stuff.
Well, so I can get this HD DVD of like...
Oh, they have the new N-Gage. Let me pick that one up. Let me pick that up.
Oh, dude. And this is 2016.
Yeah, I'm amazed they still have it. I will say, like, Kmart's out of business now, but that's the only benefit of having, yeah, that was the only good thing about Kmart, is they carried the shit that even Big Lots wouldn't carry.
Like, Big Lots wouldn't carry.
Big Lots is where shit goes to die. Like, that is the store where retail items go to die.
Right.
Next to your oven mitt that looks like a cow. Then you have then you have the dancing billy bass. What is that thing called?
There you go, billy bass. The hamburger phone and
hamburger phone. Oh god. Oh my god. That's the stupidest thing.
And then like a videotape of like Coliseum video of WWF. Like SummerSlam 89.
It has Ken Shamrock on the cover.
Why is Ken Shamrock here?
Yeah, Big Boss Man. He's been dead for 25 years. Coliseum video. Holy shit. Those were terrible.
The reason why I remember Coliseum video now, because I'm listening to Talk is Jericho, because Chris Jericho has his own podcast.
Right.
And I'm listening to Keeping It 100 with Conan, because he's part of the Jericho network that Jericho's trying to do.
Yeah.
So, like, Coliseum videos is definitely brought up a lot of the times.
Oh, because that's their prime right there.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, and, like, watching WWE network stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. Oh, speaking of which, okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what did you think, like, beyond the results and all that, but what did you think of the Cruiserweight Classic? Did you watch the entire tournament?
Yes, I did. And
You
I
did?
thought, yeah, and
Okay.
like results aside, I think the Cruiserweight Classic coupled with the type of programming NXT is, like that type of programming. Well, hell, now the writers from NXT and some of the people that were feeding lines to Daniel Bryan and Mauro for the
Tomorrow, yeah.
Cruiserweight Classic, that's the head writing team now of SmackDown.
Nice.
So it's like, and you look at SmackDown over the past 3 weeks, and that shit is gold, man.
Dude,
SmackDown's
SmackDown. Dude,
great.
SmackDown, like, and I'm doing like a mental, like, I guess, scorekeeping right now. And SmackDown is smacking the shit out of
Oh,
Raw.
absolutely.
Like, and in like storyline development. And you know, it may not be like at like much compared to maybe back then, but like I'm just seeing it as like I'm seeing more character development with like with Dolph Ziggler and this, you know, his career ending match than I am seeing anything that's going on in a Raw. And I know they're not
Exactly.
like really like in competition with each other, but that's what they're setting. That's what the story setting is. Like they're in competition with each other. They're trying to beat each other to the, with the ratings. And like I'm more, I guess I'm more excited to watch SmackDown than I am watching Raw, even though Raw has the Cruiserweights. But yeah, I mean back to the Cruiserweight, you know,
I
classic
thought
like.
that performance stuff was genius. I thought the brackets turned out well.
Yeah.
It's super, super good.
Before
Just the ability.
it all started, like who was your pick to win it?
Oh, Ibushi, no doubt in my mind.
Dude, yeah, hands down, I was thinking Ibushi was gonna take it.
The only reason he didn't get it is because he hasn't signed a contract.
Exactly.
That's it. That's
Exactly.
the
Yeah.
only reason. They gave it to TJ Perkins, and like, he's been wrestling for about 15 years or so. I don't know. I'm not feeling it with him. Like, it's not that he's just like sucks all the charisma out of the room, but there's nothing there to kind of latch on to. Like, he has a great entrance now. He has all that 8-bit, like Mega Man
Oh, dude,
style.
I had that song. Yes, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's super
It's a great
good.
song.
But like,
It's a
and
great
I know this
theme.
sounds bad, but I was like, why did they give that to him? And not like Xavier Woods.
That's true. Oh, but then if you compare that, like compare Xavier Woods with TJ Perkins, like Xavier Woods was like when he was introduced, he was kind of on like the Young Lions, like kind of the coattails of R-Truth. He had to be introduced through R-Truth.
Oh, that's
Like when he
true,
when he
yeah.
when he when he jumped into the WWE, like the
Yeah.
main roster. So like he never had his own solo thing going. And
Right.
then like after that he became with the new, and then he joined with the New Day and that was that. And then he had up, down, down. So with TJ Perkins, like I guess yeah, I just started to get to know him through the Cruiserweight Classic. I didn't see any of his TNA stuff. I didn't see any of like wherever he was before. So I'm more of a new fan of his. And you know, he's Filipino, I'm Filipino. Like, of course, yeah, like Manny Pacquiao, I'm gonna be rooting for, you know,
Right.
TJ
Sure,
Perkins.
yeah.
You know, but Kota Ibushi was my go-to guy to win it.
Oh, for
And
sure.
I was surprised. I was surprised that you know, Kota Ibushi lost. But yeah, I did know in the back of my mind, like, yeah, Kota didn't really sign with WWE yet. But then like I was reading like a Facebook post, like he kind of did sign like a NXT minor deal in a sense.
Yeah, and I
But
mean
that's about
now,
it.
yeah, and now they're doing that Dusty tag classic.
Yeah.
And he's teaming with Hideo Itami.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So you want to talk about fucking power play? Like, you
Right.
have Kenta and Kota Ibushi on the same tag team, and there's going to be anyone else? Like,
Yeah.
that's a Japanese super group.
Yeah. That is the Japanese mega powers right there.
That's it. That's
That is
legit. That
literally.
is the mega power. Like, and they were both huge at the same time. Like, and what I'm really happy
Yeah.
about now is I don't know if you've seen the most recent Hideo Itami singles match whenever he was
I've
against
been watching them. Yeah, I've been watching them.
about Drew Gulak or Gulak or whatever you say his name.
Yeah.
He kicked him in the throat, like
He did.
straight up spin kicked and nailed this guy in the throat, and he like had to take a knee and like roll out of the ring. And it sounds bad
because
you don't want to see those guys really get hurt. But in the back of my mind, it was like, that's the Kenta I remember from 2005.
Yeah,
he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he just kicked a dude in the throat. Like, and that's a shoot. Like, he really hit him. And then I guess there was a house show, and I can't. It was one of the other cruiserweights. Took a go to sleep, and took it on the side of his face.
Yeah, who was it? I'm forgetting who it was. You're right.
Took
I remember.
Go to sleep, and his knee pad, Hideo Itami's knee pad, the emblem that's stitched. So this isn't a metal piece on his knee pad. This is cloth. Left an imprint on this guy's face. Like, he shows a picture and he's like, I took a go to sleep and now I have a bruise that's shaped like the brand.
Shaped like the emblem.
It's like, Jesus, like, he's coming back. Because I was worried, because the whole reason I love Kenta is Kenta, Hideo Itami, in 2005 to 2009, he was an assassin. Like, he had the same pull that Brock Lesnar did, but he was the size of Eddie Guerrero. Like, if someone called out Kenta, like, the audience got quiet. Like, oh, you made a bad call, my friend. And then, like, would come out looking like a thug. He wore his dog tags. He would come out and just dead-eye him. He would just stare at him. He wouldn't say a word to the guy. And then they would do this 30-minute match, and you thought Kenta was really trying to break that guy's arm. Like, it was... He was on another level, but it was still safe. Like, no one got injured from Kenta. Like, I don't know how he did it. But then whenever he came to NXT, you could really tell he wanted to reinvent himself. And you know what? God bless. Like, that takes a lot of balls to be kind of the top of the mountain in one entire demographic of wrestling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then coming over to America and being like, you know what? Whatever I did in the past, it doesn't matter. Let me learn the WWE style. Let me try this more laid back storytelling. Let me try it. And it just, I don't know what it was, but I guess I was just so used to him being one way that maybe it was on me, but I couldn't quite, like, I'm always a Hideo Itami mark. Like, always. I buy all the shirts. Like, I will make sure that guy has a job, but, but it's like, it didn't quite click. And I never felt like he really got the chance he deserved, because he was still kind of going at 80%. He was like feeling it out and kind of learning the new ropes, and he was pulling his kicks, and you know, he was doing these things, and I'm like, you know what? He should really, I don't know. He should just be himself. He's trying to change too much and it's not quite working the way he thinks it will. And then he gets injured. So he gets a tear in his shoulder. He gets a tear in his
shoulder
bicep.
Injury.
Yeah. And he's out for what, a year? He was out for a long time.
Good
but
while.
In that year, you had, well, namely Shinsuke Nakamura, but you had all of these indie guys, Samoa Joe.
Yeah, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. You get all of these guys that are coming in, and they get to be themselves. So they get to keep their own name. They get to, I mean, you see, if you watch that Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura match, that is a Japanese strong style match. Like, there's no, dude, they didn't pull punches. It's nothing. Like,
that's the first time they touched, like,
ever.
A lot of the times, in like, and I guess maybe before they're about to have their match, they'll do like a little practice run, see how it feels.
Yeah.
But with this particular match, that is the exactly that is the first time that they touched.
Unbelievable.
Like see how they work.
Yeah, and it was genius.
There's a sense of trust. You have to be able to trust the person next to you or across from you. That like, oh, I can do like I can do my moves, and then I think I could take his moves pretty well, and then maybe we have a good match.
Right. Yeah. And there's a certain trust, like you said. Yeah, there's a trust there, and it's like, okay, I know, I feel comfortable that yes, we'll go stiff, we'll work stiff, we won't pull the punches, but we're not going to hurt each other.
Yeah. Right.
But that let Shinsuke Nakamura be himself, and now Samoa Joe can be himself, and Finn Balor can be himself. So then. Yeah. Hideo Itami comes back, and now he gets free reign. Like, oh, I can do Japanese strong style? Well, here we go, buddy. Like, he was the master of it for 5 years. So now he gets to be himself, and he gets to kick people in the neck, and he gets to, like, do the go to sleep and leave an imprint on the side of a guy's face. Like, now it's a thing again, and I'm like, oh, shit, man. And you're mixing him with Kota Ibushi, and they're both coming up? Like, oh, no. Like, think, this is going to get ugly.
I think,
like,
with Kenta, or Hideo Itami, whatever you want to go with, when he began, like, he was having trouble, like, trying to mix with that style, right? And then, like, he got hurt, and then when he came back, I think he got some of those things that he learned, and he would put it in, like, certain points of his style, like, he won't put it in, like, entirely, like, he won't change his style entirely, but he'll use something that he learned, like the WWE, maybe this part of the match. So, sure, like, it's not there permanently. It's just, it's there to, it's good to use at that point in time.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, and he's better.
But it's still mainly Kenta. Now old Kenta.
Yes. Now, right. And, like, it's old Kenta, but he has better, like, ring awareness. Or he's
fine-tuned in a sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He, like, looks at the camera more. So he's learning those WWE style. You have to tell the story. You have to, you know, the announcers are going to speak in, you know, sound bites. So do things where the announcers can speak in sound bites and say, oh, can you believe it? Or, like, whatever they're going to call.
Yeah.
Just make a match to where they can do things so we can put it on a highlight reel. So he's more like highlight reel wrestling.
Yeah.
And I think that works real well for Kenta because he kicks people in the face. So there's your highlight reel. Like,
remember the last storyline that he had was he was trying to do the go to sleep. And he would always tease you that thing, but a lot of the times it wouldn't go off.
Right.
And so, like, who did he do it on?
Tyler Breeze. Yes.
Yeah. He finally did it on Tyler Breeze, and everybody. Oh my god.
That was a monster pop. Like, that I was so happy to see him get it, and that the crowd popped the way they did, because I was like, okay, he's a made man. Like, his move worked. That was his move to begin with, but. Mm-hmm. Like, it worked, and he's the one that did it, and the crowd got, he got over from it. Now he's a made man. Now he's safe. Like, he can stay in NXT as long as he wants. He'll always get good booking. Like, it's amazing. And I guess that's one of those things about protecting the finish. Like, now, you know, there's certain, you know, I can watch Ring of Honor. I can watch, like, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I can watch Chikara, but the thing that bums me out about it is it's super spot heavy. Someone is going to do their finisher 36 times. If you're doing it 36 times, it's not a finisher. You know, like, I mean, the Young Bucks make the super kick, but it's still dangerous because they can also still use it as a finisher. And then it can end matches.
A transition.
Yeah. But what do you get? You know, there's that buildup, and the Japanese style of wrestling is so good at it. And that's kind of, I think, why you and I really kind of prefer that style is they build up to the one big move. Like, Undertaker's good at it. He builds up to the tombstone. He builds up to the chokeslam. But like a lot of the indie guys nowadays, how the fuck are you going to do anything better than a 450 splash off a ladder through six tables? Like, what happens then? You're going to pin him with an arm drag? Like, no.
Yeah.
You did your spot. Like, what are you going to end this with? You know what I mean? Like a backbreaker? No. Yeah, you just did a crazy stuntman thing. So
yeah, that's kind of the problem, I guess, Bobby Roode is having. Because his debut NXT pay-per-view match, his finisher was a pump handle slam. I was like, oh, okay. I don't think that works for him. I personally felt that it didn't work for him. And I think his next match with No Way Jose, I think what'd he do? Like a even flow DDT or like a lifting DDT? I was like, that works better. I think that's better for him.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's good that NXT is the place because it's not really developmental anymore. Cause like really, you're gonna develop Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, what? You're really gonna do that? But I think it is good for that exact reason. that, well, this finisher didn't get a pop. What else could I do?
Yeah.
So my next NXT match, let me try that floating DDT. Maybe the next match, let me try whatever. You know, like, it lets you play around before you get on Raw or before you get on SmackDown to figure out, okay, what's this crowd going to respond to? My only qualm with, like, Cruiserweight Classic and NXT is that everybody's over.
I almost forgot that we were talking about the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right, right. But like, yeah, it's like everybody's over already.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, no matter what they do, I can guarantee you, man, Ty Dillinger goes to SmackDown or Raw doing the perfect 10 thing.
Yeah.
That's gonna get buried quicker. That, you know what I mean? Like, if freaking Tyler Breeze and Fandango are struggling.
Yeah, you know what? And they're kind of like, they're in that space of like, they're kind of over, but they're not at the same time.
Yeah. But if they come back to NXT, oh God, that room's going to pop out of anything.
Them. You know?
So that's one of the bad things about NXT. It looks great because everyone pops for everything. Like, oh my God, did you see it? They did just a basic, you know, belly to back suplex, but the crowd goes wild. So on television, it looks great and it looks like these guys are superstars. But then you get, okay, TJ Perkins, perfect example. He did great in that Cruiserweight Classic. Like, you know, he's not my favorite out of that batch of people, but hey, he didn't, I mean, I wasn't too bummed that he won. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, no, same here.
You know, but then he goes on Raw and he goes against Brian Kendrick, a guy who's been over and over and over and over before. He knows how to get over better than anybody, and he's like 40 years old. He's been in this business, you know, he was in the graduating class with Daniel Bryan. So this guy knows how to work. The crowd could not care less. And it's like, you have Brian Kendrick in your new Cruiserweight Classic champ, and the crowd's dead? But on the Cruiserweight Classic side of things and on NXT, oh my God, that crowd goes crazy because they know who those guys are.
Yeah.
But like on Raw, you know, little Billy and his uncle, they don't give a fuck who TJ Perkins is.
Yeah.
Like, who's this guy?
At that point, that's kind of the downside of like the WWE network. Like, if you don't have it, then you don't know who these people are.
Yes. Right.
So with TJ Perkins, like, he's great. Like, he has a great ability. I think if anything, the thing that he needs to work on is just where to find his voice. Cause he just sounds like, like, I'm super grateful to be here. I had a rough story and now I'm the champ. But now, like, eventually that's going to get stale at some point, and then they're going to turn on him, you know? Now that people are becoming fans of TJ Perkins, but like, that took like a few weeks before that you even start hearing like cheers. And like, Brian Kendrick has all the guys, the smart guys, already fans of his.
Yes. Yeah. Like, we know who he is, but
yeah.
But the thing, but I will say the benefit of Brian Kendrick is he is a monster heel right now. Like, he's so good at playing a bad guy. And that's what the Cruiserweight Classic needed more than anything, was an actual heel. Everyone was so over, they were all good guys.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, a bad guy.
The only other heelish people were like Drew Gulak, Mustafa Daivari was one, and Mustafa Ali was like kind of portraying heelish things, but I think he was just more of a serious guy. And then whoever the first round guy was, that was with Cedric Alexander.
Not Tozawa,
but that guy. He was having like heelish tendencies.
Yeah, that's true.
But was there anybody that stood out to you in the Cruiserweight Classic? Like I had no idea of Jack Gallagher.
That's exactly who I was going to say.
I love that guy.
Great! What a good gimmick! Like, the whole bit works. But once again, I think he could get over on the main roster if they gave him time to be himself. And people are like, "Who's this hipster?" But then that's part of the appeal. It's like, oh, he's quirky. Let him be quirky. Like, don't pull a Neville and give him like a cape.
Yeah, that's my fear is as soon as Jack Gallagher gets there, my fear is like he will be automatically sent with the Bond villains. Like, no, dude, no,
Yeah, right.
he's kind of sure he kind of looks like that, but no, he you got to just leave it like have him on his own. Let's see. I mean, Grand Metalik, like I know him because of the stuff I've seen in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like he was running on those ropes more so than he was on the Cruiserweight Classic. Like a lot of the times I was watching the matches, I'm pretty sure like with Kota Ibushi, like I'm like, dude, that's like as much as I love watching his matches, like yeah, that's pretty like level one Kota Ibushi. That's like not
Right.
nearly, a tenth of
Yeah.
what he can do.
That's
But
not
like, of
Wrestle
course.
Kingdom 9 Kota Ibushi.
Oh yeah,
Like,
exactly.
holy shit.
But like I know like yeah that like WWE has to like not so much water him down, but like you don't have to show everything. Sure.
Well, yeah, and you have to work 300 days a year.
Yeah, that too.
So if you're blowing out your knees on your second week because you're doing
Yeah.
450 whatever, it's like, no, get that shit out of here. Like,
Exactly.
this is kind of a side tangent, and we could probably do it next episode, but I understand why Vince goes and likes big guys. I get it. Why not do
Yeah,
five
yeah.
moves? You can do five moves until you're 80.
Right.
Like, you could
I
be
mean,
on TV all the fucking time doing an elbow drop.
The Miz said the same thing. Like, dude, my moves are safe. That's why I can do this all the time.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, and so Daniel Bryan, I love that guy to death. But those running out and headbutting people, like,
Yeah,
no,
just diving
sir.
headbutt. Yeah.
Get rid of it. Like, don't do that shit. Just,
Right.
I don't see what the, because it, to me, it doesn't even look that good.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
what's the payoff? You could do a leg drop and it looks better.
Right. Yeah, that's
So,
true. 'Cause he was more of a small guy. I was like, yeah. I mean, when Benoit did it, he was a big dude. So
yeah.
that shows like, yeah, he could do some damage with it.
Yeah.
When Daniel Bryan did it, it was like, okay, sure, that hurt him, but he's still a small
Sure, but it
guy.
hurt Daniel worse. Like
Yeah,
that
it
it
hurt
like
Daniel
really
worse 'cause he
did.
was getting concussions from it.
Yeah. So I mean that's the deal, is it's like, oh my God. And I don't know if you saw what was the latest pay-per-view, the freaking Sheamus versus Cesaro thing. So
I like that series. Like
oh, I did too. I thought it was great,
I'm not a
but
fan. I'm not a fan of like the big guy wrestling. Like I mean, back in the day I was, but like I'm not anymore.
yeah.
But like with those two can work together. Like,
Oh
and
yeah, it
I
was a
was
great
a fan of
series.
that series.
But
Yeah.
Cesaro took that flying headbutt out of the ring, landed
Yeah,
on
he
his
didn't need to do
fucking
that.
neck.
Yeah, he didn't need to do that.
No. Like that match was great without it. And that's the type of stuff that kills you. Like legit, the
Exactly.
way he landed, you're off by another few millimeters, you're done.
You would have been
You
like
the next Monday
Tyson
you're doing
Kidd.
a yeah, the right. The next Monday you're doing a retirement speech.
All right.
I just don't understand it, man. And like
Yeah, like I believe me and you are at the point where like the general like wrestling audience, all they want to see is like high spots, like even from like big guys.
yeah.
At this point, like for me and you, like depending who it is, like sure, I mean, like we love watching a good match, but dude, don't hurt yourself,
Yes.
trying to do it,
Yeah.
you know?
I am more blown away by somebody who could really sell like a good sharpshooter
Yeah.
or like the submission-based, a perfect example is Shinsuke Nakamura's rolling armbar, where he like does a
Yeah.
front flip and like grabs a
Yeah.
guy's arm, and as he lands, he rolls the guy up into a move. And you look at it and you're like, oh man, that looked like $1 million.
Yeah,
Super easy to
Oscar did
do.
the same thing too, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, super easy to do. And like, of course, we're the fans of the Japanese style. So like, speaking of Cruiserweight Classic, Tajiri,
Oh yeah.
his
Here
buzzsaw kicks,
he did great.
I will mark out every single time.
Yeah,
I see a
right.
solid kick to the chest. It's the same thing as a
Yeah.
Ric Flair slap, but like,
Exactly.
you tease somebody up and you do a running kick and it echoes throughout the hall. Like, I'm done, man. Like, that's perfect. Like, yeah, pin him. Like, do it. You kick the shit
That's
out
it.
of him. You know,
That's
like,
fine. I'm okay with that finisher, man.
That's a great finisher. Yes. And like you could do that finisher. Hell, Tajiri's 50 something, right?
Yeah,
Like
he was the
40
oldest one. I
something.
believe he was the oldest one there.
And he's still going. And he's
Yeah.
still going at a caliber that's like twice as fast as the other half of those cruiserweights.
Yeah.
Because he's safe. Like he does kicks. Beautiful. You're the kick
Right.
guy. Great. Like
Exactly.
you can do kicks until you're 80.
Was there anybody that you were excited to see but kind of disappointed?
Oh man.
Or maybe not disappointed, but like I guess like the expectations were too high.
Maybe oh.
Because I can say firstly for me it was Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, and the thing with Zack Sabre is he's another one of those guys that he's super over everywhere else.
Right. And yeah, I totally get that. And I always hear his name, right? So I was
Yeah.
excited to see this guy. And it might have been like the WWE watered down part of it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm seeing like, okay, like he's that dude is super, he was more skinny than Daniel Bryan. Now I'm like, okay. Then I see him do his like, his chess match, getting out of holds, catch wrestling. I was like, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And then like when he's trying to sell or do hits, like I don't personally believe it.
Sure.
You know?
And that's the thing,
And
man.
that's probably just me. I mean,
Well, no,
the only
you're
thing that
onto
like I
something,
was
though.
I the only thing I was like I believe was like his penalty kick.
Yeah, right. Well, because, yeah, that gets a running start and all that. But yeah, there's a reason why, and there's this whole back and forth about, oh, well, WWE and Vince only likes the big guys and all. But there's a reason why that works is because here's the thing, man. If I'm in the ring with Kevin Nash and he punches me in the face, I'm going down. Because that
Yeah.
dude's 6'8" and 320 pounds of muscle. Like,
Exactly.
I'm going to get knocked unconscious. If I get Zack Sabre Jr. running at me, he has to get me off guard by kicking my ankle. Like,
Right.
you know what I'm saying? It's not, and
Yeah.
it's not a, that's not a slam against anybody. It's just like the mentality of it. Like, okay, you go
That's
on
like
the
the
street.
story of it. Like that's the story you're telling.
Yes.
Like
Yes.
if Kevin
So,
Nash is hitting you, you are for sure gonna like, stumble and not get knocked out or whatever.
yeah.
If Zack Sabre Jr. is gonna hit you, like depending who you are, like sure, like okay, either you feel it a little bit or you won't even flinch
Yes,
just
exactly. So
because of
here's
what
the
I'm
deal.
looking at compared to like say me or something.
The perfect example is people are furious nowadays at Brock Lesnar. They can't stand him.
Yeah.
They think he's irresponsible. They think all this other stuff. Anybody on that roster who beats Brock Lesnar, you look at him. You don't know anything about pro wrestling. You
Yeah.
see Brock Lesnar, and then you see anybody else on that roster who beats Brock Lesnar. No one. That's who.
Nobody. Right now,
Because
nobody.
he, that
John
guy's a
Cena did
demon.
back then, but yeah, nobody.
Yeah, that guy's a demon. It's he is so above and beyond what he's scary. You look at him and you're like, yeah, why doesn't he have the belt? Why doesn't he have all the belts, actually? Like, give him the tag titles. It doesn't matter. Like, who's gonna beat Brock Lesnar? Just from a shoot. Like,
Exactly.
nobody. So that same dynamic is why cool. The only reason why, and I love Daniel Bryan, and we both know how good he is, and everyone knows how good he is, and all the stuff in Ring of Honor. But the only reason his story worked is they viewed him as the underdog.
Yeah.
So he was never the threat, right? Like,
Right,
he was
right.
never the Brock Lesnar. He was never like you hear his music and you're like, oh, shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
But that's why I was so happy to see Kenta, start getting his stuff back. As I'm like, okay, if they can bill him the same way they build the Great Muta in WCW, as like, here's a guy, he doesn't even have to speak. He can just come out, kick a dude in the head, and leave. And they're like, oh, yeah, that
Exactly.
guy's not kidding around. Like, you
Yeah.
sell it.
So
You
like the
sell
re
it.
okay, so I guys like Kenta, guys like Daniel Bryan, I believe them more. Sure, they're a little bit bigger, but like their attacks are more momentum based.
Yes.
You know? Like
That they're
they're using their
smart.
whole body to like running knees, they're using their whole body. turning their hips for their, you know, for those kicks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, maybe I'm just like, that's my gripe with Zack Sabre Jr., but like, I believe like the Kentas and the Daniel Bryans more than I do Zack Sabre Jr., but like, that's the only exposure I have of Zack Sabre Jr. right now. Like, if anybody wants to link me any like sort of Zack Sabre Jr. match that I need to see, by all means, please send it to me so I can, maybe I can, like, you know, change my mind or whatever. But
yeah,
as of right now, like, I'm not believing, and I'm not really high up on Zack Sabre Jr. Like, I can see where people are high on him on, but like, I need more from him.
See,
personally.
Right. And I'm kind of there with you on him. And it's interesting though, because I completely get the hype for Will Ospreay. That dude is money. Like, he, in the next 5-6 years, he's going to be in WWE and he's going to be some sort of world champ.
Him and Ricochet? Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Like, him, Ricochet, those guys write their own checks.
Because
they get it. They do the high-flying stuff. They do all the synchronized stuff, and people call it, oh, this is just scripted ballet. It's not even wrestling. But they know how to go. Like, they know, once again, do backflips and stuff. Because guess what? You can do that because you're not doing any impact. So
right.
you're not a big guy. Yeah, you can do backflips for another.
You're not 7'8" and doing backflips.
Yes, right. There's that old saying where Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, back in the 90s, you know, whenever Kevin Nash like first really started coming in, and Scott Hall's one of the smartest minds in the business. And there's a story where they talked about, you know, Kevin Nash really wanted to show that he was a big guy, but he was agile and stuff. So whenever they were scripting out the match, he was like, you know what, you know, you'll come under me and I'll leapfrog you and all this stuff. And then Scott Hall was like, are you a moron? And Kevin Nash was like taken aback, and he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're the biggest guy on the roster and you want to avoid, you're trying to avoid contact. You're the biggest guy on the roster. What? No, mow people over.
Yeah, don't leapfrog.
That's what people want to see.
Why are you leapfrogging? Did you get
Why are you moonsaulting? Like, you're seven foot two.
Super shredder.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing avoiding contact? You're 320 pounds, man.
Oh, man.
So it's psychology, and that's the interesting thing. And like, I think we're wrapping up here, but it's, you know, this is being a brother. This just the talk and shop, and
yeah,
you know, this is what it's about.
This episode, we're just mainly talking about wrestling, and like, you know, again, as we do these episodes, it's gonna be a broad spectrum of like whatever we feel like talking about.
Yeah,
you know,
right, just catching up and.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the deal. So, I mean, if there's big news in gaming, if there's big news in movies, I know there's going to be, probably in the next few episodes, probably just nothing but talking about comic book movies.
You know
what I mean? Because I think that'll be an interesting one, because I have bones to pick on a lot of the way things are going.
Okay.
Like, comic book stuff. But I'd like to hear your take, because, I mean, between the two of us, you're definitely the more seasoned vet. Whenever it comes to like the full dynamic of comic books, like I've read Planetary, I've read Watchmen, I've read, you know, I've read kind of those. If you read a top 10 list on BuzzFeed, I've probably read them.
You
know what I'm saying? Like that's how deep I go. But I do come at it from the movie side. Like, okay, do these movies work? But there's a lot of I still haven't seen. So it'll be interesting to talk about that. And then, hell, we could have a politics one. We could do a politics podcast. Why not?
right.
Talk about just crazy stuff. Talk about, like, you know, Black Lives Matter. We'll go into some stuff, you know. So,
and then, like, depending, like, it, you know, if we get, like, a lot of interaction, you know, comments and stuff, you know, if you want to bring up a topic, we could definitely talk about that.
Yeah. Too. No, and yeah. All but, I mean, there's no, like we say, it's unfiltered, it's uncensored, it's just coming straight from us. So, I mean, if you guys want to hear something in particular, let us know. It's who knows? That's the beauty of this, is it can go anywhere, any which way. We're going to try to keep it as unstructured as possible.
Yeah.
Because I think we get into stuff and then we try to structure it, we try to let it become a big thing, and, well, now it has to open this way, and it has to...
Right.
Or like, this is the one project where that's not gonna be the case.
Yeah, we're just gonna start topics and then like we'll tangent on something else and then go,
Yeah.
oh, hey, let's talk, go back to what we were talking about. Yeah.
I mean, we talked about wrestling jargon, we talked about phones exploding, we talked about SWAT teams, we talked
Yeah,
about
we talked about like Walmart Black Friday TVs,
carnivals.
Carny talk.
Carny talk, man. I love it. Oh man. But
Awesome.
that's episode one of Brothering Around.
Yeah.
Yeah, brother.
On a brother rating, what do you think with this episode? Like we're just starting out, but on a brother rating,
Brother
how do you
rating.
feel?
Feels like a good brother time. Like it feels, if we're on a 1 to 10, I'd give it, I'd give it a solid, say, let's lowball a little bit. Let's say a 6.5. Give us
Okay,
some room to grow. Better
yeah.
than average. I feel comfortable with this being the litmus test, the kind of,
There you go.
this is on the bell curve. We're at the 100 right now. So
Right.
we're
Yeah.
gonna have some that are a
And
little less. They can't all be gems,
right.
but we're gonna have some that are quite a bit better.
Yeah,
So,
totally. And
but
if I
it's a
had
good
to
place to
rate it,
start.
if I had to rate it from a 1 to 10, I would give it like a journeyman status. We're like
Sure.
journeyman. You know,
Gotcha.
we'll
Yeah.
win some, we'll lose some, but we're polishing our craft, and
Gotcha.
hopefully somebody will sign us.
Yeah, you would give it the 2.75 star Dave Meltzer rating.
There you go. There you
You'd
go.
give it the, yeah, there's some stuff here, but
You know,
that's,
TNA will sign us, and then WWE will purchase their library.
yeah,
That type
right.
of thing.
Yeah, oh sure. So
That
then
is literally
people
like today's news
will
is
be
WWE purchased TNA's library.
we will be that the happy accident that people stumble across.
There you go.
Like, hey, I like those other guys. Yeah, those guys. Don't know who they are, but they're good.
Was watching. I know we're trying to end. I was watching Sting, JBL Legends, where he interviewed like
I saw
Legends.
it too.
I was
Yeah.
watching the Sting one. Yeah, he was saying like, when Sting was trying to get signed or trying to get famous, he's like, yeah, we had a picture and there was four of us, and I guess the guy was like, I just need two of you guys, and I want the guys on like on the right, and I was talking about Sting and Ultimate Warrior, and yeah, that's gonna be tr that's where we're at right now.
That's right. Yeah. You if you wildly clicked on just random iTunes episodes and you stumble upon us,
Yeah.
hopefully you just call the manager back. I'd like to book those two.
Exactly.
That's our
There you
work right
go.
there, man. That's the work. But oh man, but that's it for this one. Episode number one, brothering around. But the brother himself, Marco Flores, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for co con concocting this into fruition, man.
Yeah, like we've always wanted to.
Yeah.
And now we actually have like stable income. We don't have to our we don't have to travel th 300 miles for a
Right.
$50 house
For
show.
$15 and
Yeah.
a cheesecake.
We don't have to use our car's alternator to heat up our food. Like
Yeah.
true carny shit, right? But like we have to do that anymore. Like we can actually relax and just chill out and
Exactly.
kind of do our own thing. But this is brothering around. So yeah, leave some comments. Be some good brothers. And brothers,
Yeah,
here's the
man.
thing. You can be man, woman, child, pet. Doesn't matter. Leave us some comments.
Leave us some comments. Give us like that 5-star review rating on
Yeah.
iTunes.
That's right, man. Just really pad those numbers because
Really pad those
it's
numbers.
all downhill from here. So
Hobo Network, I'm looking at you guys.
that's right. Yeah, Hobo Network. Big shout, all of your brothers.
Yeah.
Those are the true brothers right there. But yeah, that's our time, guys. We will see you. What are we doing these, man? Every week?
Dude, yeah, man, if we can get it going, we can go to do it every week, man. If
Every
we can
week.
try to.
We will
We can
see
try
you
to.
guys next week for episode number two. Who knows what the hell we're going to talk about?
Yeah, man.
But thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you again soon. Until next time, keep being brothers. We'll see you later.
Peace, guys.